Okay. I'll get with you before we turn.
Okay, I'm gonna start recording here. Okay, it is 6 p.m. on Tuesday, January 10th, 2023. I'll call the Common Council meeting in order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You know it.
And I will make a note that I have Councilman Varga on video in front of me. So when it comes to votes, I'll have to go by name, but then I'll point to you, Tad, when I need your vote. Okay. With that, we'll do roll call. Rosie.
Weigold.
Here.
Varga.
Here, he says.
Okay. Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on December 27th. Dan, Walt, and Jenny, any questions, comments, concerns? Okay. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion to approve, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. Motion to approve by Jenny, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. Jenny, Dan, and Walt approve.
Abstain.
And Jennifer abstains. And Tad abstains. Struggling with the mute button, right, Tad? Okay. So next up is the Christmas Lighting Awards. Jennifer!
Yay! So every year we have the Christmas Lighting Contest here in Columbia City. It's always a lot of fun. Our little roving band of judges usually ends up spending about a week on this by the time we drive up and down all of the city streets. And every year we get more streets.
We do.
There's always more to look at. So we really had some great competition this year. We saw some houses that haven't been decorated before. And so making our decisions was sometimes a little difficult. Kind of had to battle out some of them. But we got our list together, and I am ready to recognize our winners. Mm-hmm. We can go ahead and have everybody kind of come up to the front, and Rachel's going to get a picture, like a group picture of everybody together. If there's a sign still at your house, I need to get that sign back. So if you want to drop it off here at City Hall, that would be great. You can drop it off at Dispatch.
That'll work. Yeah.
We reuse the signs every year. Google, so it'd be great to get those back. Okay. All right. So this year, our overall winner was Chris Cook.
Or Blaine.
Come on up.
And go ahead and stay up. Do you want to do one big picture?
Yeah, one
big picture. I'm just going to do this. All right. There's your prize. What is your name? But behind it, check. And Northwest District winner is Ryan and Sarah Graham. Just thank you.
Thank you. So, as always, if you would like to stay, you are free to stay. If you want to go, we're not going to take offense to it, because we know how exciting these council meetings are. So, thanks, everybody, again, for your holiday spirit. We really appreciate it very much.
I can go, too.
No.
Whoa.
Okay. Next up is the election of council president. I will open the floor for nominations.
I'd like to nominate Walt Crowder again. Obviously, this is going into his final 20th year, so I'd like to nominate Walt.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion and a second for Walt to remain council president. Do I have any other nominations? Do I have a motion to close nominations?
So moved.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to close nominations. All those in favor, I'm sorry, I will go by voice vote. All those in favor of Walt remaining council president, Jenny?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Abstain.
Okay. You can abstain. That's fine. And Tad?
Yeah.
Tad says aye.
Yeah, just get home.
Okay. Congratulations, Walt. Next up is Ordinance 2023-1. This is the second reading with the opioid funds. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, Jenny?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
Tad? I'm sorry. Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
And Tad? Okay, I got to have a voice on that one. I'm sorry, buddy. You're muted. That's okay. You don't. Hold on. We're struggling to get the mute off. No, I can't. It's got to be on your end, buddy. I'm sorry. We're working on it. Thank you. And Tad, that's a unanimous, please. Yes. Please read Ordinance 2023-1 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-1, an ordinance establishing opioid settlement funds, unrestricted and restricted.
So as a reminder, as we talked about last time, the state of Indiana has effectively settled with multiple opioid manufacturers in a, I think, multi-state lawsuit. A portion of that settlement will be going to the state, while the other portion will be distributed to cities, towns, and counties across the state of Indiana. I think we end up with $200,000+, but it ends up being spread out over 16 or 18 years. So this first year is, I think, our biggest amount, which is somewhere, I want to say, around like $30,000+. I'm sorry, $47,000. Thank you, Rosie. We must have gotten our first. Have we gotten our first?
Yes.
Okay. So, anyways, about $47,000, and every year from now will be like in the teens. And then keep in mind, this is not obligating those funds. It's merely creating a fund to put those dollars in. We will have conversations in the future about where to utilize those funds, because there is a restricted and an unrestricted fund. And what you do with those dollars depends on what those restrictions are. Obviously, the whole point of the opioid settlement fund is to go toward effectively diminishing the impact of opioid overprescription in our country, and specifically in our city. So there are some organizations in our community that are doing this work that I am anticipating will want assistance from the city through this opioid fund to support their efforts. I don't know that for a fact, but I kind of picked up on that rumbling. But again, that's a conversation for a different day. But I am happy to answer any questions you may have about the opioid settlement fund or kind of the usages of that, to the best of my understanding. Any questions? Dad, do you have any questions? No? Okay. Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2023-1 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. We'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Aye.
Jennifer?
Aye.
Dan?
Aye.
Walt?
Aye.
Tad?
Aye.
Okay. It is unanimous. Thank you for that.
That's a big one. Well,
thank you, Tom. Next up is well-positioned department reports. So we'll start with Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Any questions?
Oh my gosh. We have been spending a lot of time doing cleaning around the firehouse. This time of year, when there's not a whole lot going on as far as outside projects, it gives us an opportunity to focus inside, so we can take care of that. We've got Kyle and I, who started January 3rd, so been working with him, trying to get him through his book, or his pack to get signed off for being on his own, doing the inventory, and then the trailer that we picked up from the training
council.
Oh my gosh, I can't think of
training council.
Training council. We're going to be bringing that into the firehouse and repacking bearings, redoing the wiring, and putting a new set of tires on it. So that'll be a kind of a fun project to do inside the plant. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Questions of Tom? Okay, thank you. Mark Green.
Okay, so starting this week, we're going to be tearing down the overlook back by the pond in Morse's Park and rebuilding it. We've had some structural issues back there, so it's been needed for a while, but it'll look a lot better and be a lot more stable when it's done, so I'm excited to see you guys work on that starting this week. We've been selling father-daughter dance tickets starting last Monday since we came back from the holidays, and they've been selling pretty well, so I'm excited for the event. I think that it's going to be a pretty neat red carpet event is what we're calling it, and we've got some neat things going on that I think are going to surprise some people when they get there.
Okay.
So I think that that'll be pretty neat for the girls and the dads too. We've also been getting decorations for that. Our office is kind of getting cluttered with decorations before we start decorating for that. It's going to be here quick. Met with JPR today, the engineers from Fort Wayne, to talk about Eagle Park, and just trying to get things ready to send it out for bid for that project. So that's it.
Question to Mark. Thank you. Kelly.
We're going to be doing some training on our vac truck tomorrow with some of the newer guys on the department. And we've just been doing maintenance, streets, alleys, around the shop, on our equipment, things like that. That's really keeping up on work orders and things like that right now.
Questions to Kelly. Okay, thank you. Gary.
We received 18 applications for the one position for police officer, which I thought was pretty good. There is two laterals in that in those applications, so kind of excited to go with that. We're going to start testing probably next week or the following week, so we'll be trying to move that along as quickly as possible. Officer Campbell and Officer Thomas started the academy on January 3rd. Things are going good for them down there. They went back in December and did the pre-assessment, and they scored high on those, the entrance tests, so that was good. Holidays were quiet for police officers, so in police work we call that a plus, and happy with that. Our intern, Jack Maley, was supposed to start on January 9th. However, there's some delay there, so we're trying to look into get with the high school and see why he isn't here yet. So I don't know if he withdrew out of the program or if we're just missing him somewhere. So
probably decided to be a firefighter.
Yeah, probably. Wouldn't doubt. Dispatch, Megan Cotter, completed her first year, and she's out off the probationary period, so she's doing a good job and fitting in well. We've had several dispatchers getting sick, and we were able to fill those shifts with very little overtime. So we was pleased with that. Other than that, things are going well.
Questions of Gary. Thank you. Mike Shoda.
The day after Christmas, we had a bad main break there at Morse's Lumber Company, and we could not slow the water down, so we had to do it, you know, with quite a bit of water spraying out. Next week, we got a inserted valve. EJP is going to come over and put an inserted valve, 12-inch inserted valve in for us. And then we've got several other places around town, one out at Miller's Merry Manor on Ellsworth Street that we want to put a valve in so that we don't have to ever, if we have sections where we had problems, we should be able to keep them in water no matter what. So.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Mike Cook.
Last week we had the kickoff meeting for the CSO project. They should get started on that at the end of this month, 1st of February. The first main project, the Board of Works approved a contract amendment on that since we started out as a pipe project, but we had to add pumps to it. That increased the project about $29,000 for the engineering fees for a total of $114,000. Sludge recirculation pumps were torn apart and went ahead and ordered new cutter bars and impellers and stuff like that to rebuild those if we have to, because once we start having issues with them in years past, it's just what's coming next is they have to be rebuilt. So we went ahead and ordered our parts now because it's probably going to take months before we get them. Been reviewing our new permit that we received on December 30th, and then just doing year-end reports and files.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Sean.
So last week we completed the Main Street lighting project. All the old poles have been removed. It looks a lot better aesthetically, especially during the day, not having the poles leaning in and the wires going back and forth across Main Street. So great job of that crew. We had a contractor by the name of Bancroft came in and poured the bases. My guys worked with them to get all the poles set. We did that about as economically as we could. A great job by my guys working with these guys to get that done. We also started our inventory last week. We continue on that. One thing I didn't mention before is we had a new mechanic start on Monday. So, of course, he's been there 2 days and worked on 8 cop cars already. But but that's it's good to have a mechanic back in the shop. Kicking off the North Street entry project, that was approved about a year and a half ago now. We finally have all the material from the contractor, and that's supposed to kick off the first week of February. So our fingers crossed that gets started. So other than that, routine maintenance.
Questions of Sean? Thank you. Chip.
With the weather being the way it is, I've been doing a lot of inventory inside and we're going ahead, hopefully next meeting we'll be starting the annex process of County Dye, and so that's moving ahead. It was part of the JPR meeting 2 weeks ago, the mayor and a group of us, sorry my speech right now,
it's okay.
The camera's like scary. You know, if you put a camera on me and I get nervous, and getting ready to start the downtown planning, so hopefully get to move forward with that.
Questions of Chip? Thank you. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
I'm going to get Ted turned around here while I give my report. Okay, a couple things for you to know. A lot of things are happening right now with just lots of projects from engineering of potentially putting a water line out to Northern Heights to engineering of some sewer work out at the industrial park to lots of other projects, Jefferson Street lift station, one of our CSO outfalls, things like that. So lots of infrastructure work especially. I know we're working toward getting pre-bid and all that kind of stuff for our road paving package this year. So there's just lots of things happening. This past week, I had September McConnell on my lunch with the mayor. I thought that went really, really well. And obviously, they're really excited about moving into their building, but that also means that Mark hopefully soon will be getting a new park office, which will be the former Community Foundation, or the current Community Foundation building, soon to be the former Community Foundation building. So that move to that office will happen hopefully sometime this year. Let's see, what else? So yesterday I had a 10-year-old named Dinah who shadowed me for the day, who was kind of a day with the mayor kind of a thing, and so we got to go around each of the departments and appreciate seeing lots of our department heads out there and how they spoke with her, and so really kind of good stuff. This coming week, obviously the week that we're on here, as mentioned, we had an Eagle Park meeting earlier today, and so we're getting some of the final pieces of that. We're still waiting on the DNR Land and Water Conservation and State Park Service, or I'm sorry, the Federal Park Service, to kind of get us all the finished contract and get that signed and all that stuff. So we don't necessarily have a timeline yet because we're waiting on that piece, but that should be coming down the line. AIM legislative meeting is this Friday on Zoom and stuff. We are now in the legislative session for 2023. So there are many bills that are being filed as we speak. This is the second day of session, so we're waiting to see all the bills that are going to be filed by the different individuals. There will be some, I'm sure, that will impact us. And there are also some that I'm advocating for that we'll talk more about in future meetings. But we're kind of waiting to see what impact this legislative budget session is going to have on us. Also want to make a mention that this coming Monday, we are closed. City Hall is closed for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I think that's about it. We continue to talk about Westgate, and we'll be having more conversation with ANZ, our engineers, about the future of Westgate and how we can phase in the next couple of phases, knowing that the original design is $11 million, and we don't have $11 million to build that. So we're trying to figure out a better way to not necessarily phase it, but figure out a different thing with the drainage that should bring that cost down and make it much more feasible. But it is going to take some work and partnership with some of the farmers in the area. So that's Chip's job to figure out. But in general, that's where we're kind of working in that area. So besides that, our next board and council meeting is on the 24th of January. I think that's it. Walt?
I have none.
Dan?
Well, thanks, Chip. It was great leadership last night at the Plan Commission. we approved the new jail development.
Okay.
Out there with some stipulations that they'll have to meet.
Okay.
Also, there's a 5-lot subdivision that's going to be kind of overtaken a couple of lots that's already out here in Tanglewood.
Oh, okay.
And so that's going to be one that's coming in. We also approved Despic's building out there off across from the new apartment complex.
Okay.
Out there, an equal point.
Okay.
So there's three things that came down the food pipe.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that was, like I said, Chip's great leadership. You got
that's the compliment he's gotten all day. Okay. Well, thank you. I know there's, I've kind of been keeping an ear to the ground about that. As you're well aware, I've been very, I have not really been involved at all in any of the jail planning and anything like that. The county has handled basically all of that outside of what came to the Plan Commission and or BZA. But I just say that to say I know that there's some businesses out there that have some concerns about traffic volume, and certainly when you're bringing individuals, incarcerated individuals out to a brand new area, especially a neighborhood like that, things like that. So I'm sure that was something you guys made.
Actually, I had the privilege of going through Adams County's
sure.
new jail, and it's basically a copy of that.
Yep.
And a couple of things that needed to be addressed within that jail, I seen on the floor plans when I looked them over. They tweaked that so we don't have the same problems that they have.
Gotcha.
So theoretically, it looked pretty good. It looked like they took care of those issues, so hopefully we don't have the same things Adams County did, but
sure.
it's going to be a beautiful facility for a jail, is what it is. But also, like I say, we addressed the opening of the drive going back, because they had it put as a 25 radius, and I thought that was too close, so we made it 35.
Gotcha.
It's a little easier to get bigger trucks in and out. other than that, the trees and the fencing and, you know, a lot of that was addressed last night for security reasons. And so I think they got a really good plan coming. Mm-hmm. So, you know, pretty excited about seeing how that develops out there.
Sure.
But we didn't have any
opposition.
I think they've been mainly showing up to the county council, the county commissioners, the planning department, things like that. But, you know, again, it's one of those things that I know that the county has discussed this for some time now. You know, but unfortunately, just like we have issues, it's the same kind of issue, is trying to get information out to the public about these things and getting them their eyeballs on it, let's say it that way. And so now that this process has moved along long enough where they're preparing for construction, people are now really starting to take notice, and that causes obviously a lot of concern and stuff. But, you know, really, I guess I just, the one thing I want to make sure that our residents understand is really outside of the planning development piece, like, we didn't have a say in the position, where it's located, anything like that. That's all been county-led, but I know that you guys have tried to make it the best of the situation in Planning Commission. So
we addressed a lot of the questions of the exterior design, how it looks, and how, you know, because we don't want to just pick a brick building out there.
Mm-hmm.
It looks almost exactly like Adams County.
Gotcha.
So it's fairly attractive for the jail.
Yeah.
And it should be very feasible for what our needs are. I'm pretty satisfied with the way it looks.
Okay.
And how we handled that last time.
All we did was turn this picket.
Was there any discussion, sorry to put you on the spot, Dan, but was there any discussion about the future of the current jail?
No.
Okay.
We didn't touch that at all.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, Dan? Since I've peppered him with questions. Anybody else want to do that? Okay. Jennifer.
Okay, I have a couple of things.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to thank the various city departments and the city for their help with Santa's House this year. Unfortunately, with the cold and the weather, we didn't get to be open the last two nights, which is kind of a bummer. But we did see a lot of kids this year, and so it was a good experience. So thanks to the police department for coming and turning on lights and that sort of thing every week. Thank you to the street department. I'm not sure if the street department called anybody else in to help with it, because moving it is not necessarily an easy project, I know. Also, the electric department for helping to keep it warm in there, especially when it's really cold. So thanks to everybody. It's definitely a project that involves a lot of people, and I'm just grateful for the help every year that we do that. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is that the first meeting of the Art Commission happened, was that last week?
Yes, last week.
Yes, last week, and it's a fantastic group of individuals bringing a lot of different experience with art to the table. We've got kind of somebody for every different sort of thing there, which was fantastic, because everybody's got a lot of great ideas, and hopefully that will continue to make art part of the conversation in Columbia City and greater Whitley County as a whole, so... Exciting.
Yeah, the privilege of speaking with one of the members, and he's very excited about having an opportunity to serve on it, for one, and then actually having a group that's designated to go towards the audience.
Yes.
So, yeah, he was pretty jacked up about it.
It was
a great thing.
It was a pretty good experience that, you know, in our hour meeting, we had way more to talk about than we really had time for. Already having, like, spin-off meetings and... hopefully we'll accomplish some good things with that.
Which is awesome. Jennifer was named the chairperson for this year, so she's leading the helm for this year. And also wanted to make a note back to Santa's House for a second, is that I think did both of our past Santas, or at least one of our past Santas, had passed away this year, right?
Right.
Right. Did they both?
I'm not sure.
I think they may have.
Okay.
Anyway.
I know that... Anyway, Ron Gardy had, and he was our main Santa in a lot of ways over the years. He kind of helped coordinate other groups. It'll be a shock to everyone that there's more than one Santa.
Yes. No,
please
yes.
Don't be. Put the Santa.
They're Santa's helpers, is what they are.
I'm going to be having a problem.
Don't put that in the newspaper.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Santa's helpers. Santa's helpers.
But we did recognize Ron this year at the Christmas parade, and inside the house there's one kind of remembrance of him in there, and eventually there will be another one too. But he was more than just the Santa at Santa's house. He helped coordinate stuff. He was on our committee. He actually helped build the current Santa.
Oh, really?
So, you know, we're not going to forget him.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. Ted, I'm going to give you an opportunity if you want to, if you have anything to add to the conversation.
RDC.
Or, oh, well, you can, yeah. Chip wants to know if you have anything to add about Redevelopment Commission today.
At this time, no.
Okay. Ted declined.
I'll talk to tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Ted. Appreciate it. Ted declines. Jenny.
I have nothing.
Nothing? Oh, okay. Walt does have something.
It's been a while. Is the parking committee around town still established or still?
As myself and Tad and I believe our police chief. Yeah, we know there's an issue out there off of the Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a curve out there that's got some big trucks and trailers that sit on that curve, and it makes it very difficult to see. You know, that's a tough call out there because the driveways aren't big enough to park any of that stuff in it.
Right.
And unless you make a one-side street parking, I'm not so sure how you get around that unless they don't park them out there.
Yeah.
I don't know, Chief's dealt with it probably more than I have, obviously, but I do know of the situation.
Right. So, yeah, we're clear of it. And I know of people that live in the one house, and I was going to have that discussion with them because I think he's running his construction business out of there, and he has his workers parked there, and they got big trucks too. So
they're very big trucks.
Yeah. So I was going to see if he could have his workers maybe park somewhere else and maybe meet there.
It just feels like, not to add gasoline to the fire here, it just feels like a consistent, number one, a consistent safety issue, but it just feels like it and I know it's not on purpose, but it feels like they keep parking across from each other. That neither of them are willing to offset each other. And so every time, I go by there at 7:15 every morning or 7:10 every morning, and it's hoping that someone isn't going to come around that corner behind those trucks that I didn't see. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people in our subdivision that are like that too. So
I know that in years past, parking committee, it wasn't officially called that, but they got creative and did some things in other places of town to assist the environment or the congestion in there.
Right.
So I'd be glad to share that with you, or you may already be aware of it, but I think, it's about being a good neighbor.
Right, for sure.
And it's just we're just trying to make it safer than neighborhood.
Yeah. I know we had issues on North Columbia Parkway, Holden Road, and Jeffrey. Because everybody still parks side by side. They don't stagger it, or they don't utilize their driveways.
Mm-hmm.
And so we send out a letter and say, please utilize your driveways or stagger your parking. Otherwise, we're going to have to really seriously look at making this one-side street parking. And everybody wants it. Well, most everybody wants it, but they want it on the other side of the road.
On the other side.
You know, it's all, and then you got to watch for mailboxes. You got to watch for fire hydrants.
Yep.
All that stuff is taken into consideration when you're making those adjustments. So it does create some hard feelings. So if we send out a letter, it works about for about 6 months, and everybody goes back to parking like they were. So, it's just one of those things that, they either start self-adjusting themselves or we're going to have to come in. And I know the people on Holden Road, a few people asked me about making it a one-way street.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not going to come in and tell everybody it's got to be a one-way street. If you want that, if the majority of the people in that area want a one-way street, bring a petition to us.
Yep.
We'll take a hard look at it and make it happen. But I'm not going to come in and dictate to somebody that you have to do something. I don't play that way.
Well, and I'll say, I don't go down Holden as much as I used to, but I still say that the issue on Holden is nowhere near – to the severity of the one on Jeffrey. At least it seems to me that a lot of people are utilizing their driveways and stuff. I guess the bigger issue is just, you know, trying to really get across to the individuals of, like, if you do have to drive and park on the road, at least stagger yourself or something to get through. But at the end of the day, Gary, if you can have a conversation with somebody over there, and then, and honestly, if it's something we need to draft a letter and send out, we're happy to do that. But you know, I agree. It just appears to be a consistent issue, and you know, we all get calls and concerns about that.
Truly, it's not all their fault. It was a poor design.
Yeah.
It was a poor design back when they did it. We've had that in a couple of three other areas. Arrowhead Court's a perfect example of one that was terribly built. So, you know, that was all built in the late 60s and 70s, you know, and nobody knew how that was going to develop out there.
Yeah. Well,
and they had one car garage.
Yeah, well, and again, I guess I would also just add is, like, we have lots of streets across the city that are the same width. Less of them now because more roads are being built out and all that kind of stuff, but we have other roads that are in that same width, but we don't have the major big trucks that are, you know, taking up a lot more space on each side of that road that's creating the concern. So that's the hope, is maybe a conversation or something can at least minimize that. But I agree with Walt. We were talking before the meeting and stuff, and there may be opportunities, whether it's, you know, working with neighbors or, you know, even the idea of expanding parking for people in that area or something. I don't know. But we really need to figure out ways to fix the issue, because it is a safety concern.
This issue was explored a little bit last year at Ordinance Committee, looking around in that same neighborhood, and we did investigate some different options. And that the topic of discussion was actually a little different than this, but also kind of the same.
Sure.
Tom was concerned about being able to get fire trucks through.
Yep.
And Tom and I went out and measured a lot of these streets.
Yep.
And some of them are to code, but some of them aren't. And then we've even talked about staggering parking stalls.
Yeah.
You know, we did that. So that was one of the things we brought up in the ordinance committee. That.
But one of the things we talked about with that is, how do you market for wintertime when you've got snow coverage?
Yep.
Right.
So yep. And again, you know, we're just into winter now. And, you know, the idea of having a fire truck go through that when the snow's already pushed them closer to the middle of the road and stuff, it's, I mean, there's some major concerns there.
And you've seen it before where you wouldn't have been able to get through, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, that day we were out there doing it, we had a FedEx truck stop right between two cars. I mean, the mirrors were over the cars.
Yep. So
then you put our intake valves that stick out a couple inches further than our running boards. Those cars would have been, they had V's down the side of them.
Yeah.
Not to mention the damage it did to the fire truck, is all that plumbing.
Yeah.
All that.
I think kind of what this comes down to is, this is an opportunity for neighbors to work with neighbors to try to handle this situation before we have to come in and handle it, and then there's disappointment and hurt feelings and that kind of thing.
Maybe there's an opportunity that you, you know, as a committee, you can coordinate the neighborhood gathering just. And talk about it as a group and host it, you know, not run it, but host it.
We could just put it right there at Zion Lutheran. They can walk across the parking lot and then they're there. But no, I agree. I mean, again, to Jennifer's point, completely agree. The fact that, you know, this council, the city, has never wanted to be the heavy hand of government. We don't want to be that. We have shown that consistently. We don't want to be that, right? We've gone to great lengths to loosen our ordinances, take out old ordinances, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, if it's a safety matter, and it means whether or not a fire truck can go through, whether or not we have accidents or things like that, that's when we have to sometimes step in. We don't want to, but sometimes that's what it takes. And so hopefully we can get this addressed through personal contact, maybe a meeting, whatever, and try to make it get it addressed.
Yeah, the other thing to do would be to reach out to the streets, move all back a foot and a half.
And then go into their yards.
And then, well, actually, you probably wouldn't have to, but it would be a major job to your foot and a half on each side, which you're probably doing it. You just move it back. You still got a little greenway there. But again, you're talking some major bucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do that.
Major bucks.
Well, when we were out measuring, it's the rolled curb, like, to the back, to the back is fine, but the roll part, but nobody parked up on
nobody
the roll
parks curb. On the rolled curb.
Right. So I think back when they built these roads, they built them that way, not taking the rolled part out of it.
Well, and then that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So not to beat a dead horse, but I do think it's important for us to keep looking at that, and if we can try to get it addressed, I think that's
a family.
That is important.
Especially if it can just be worked out between the neighbors, and then nobody has to give up something that's going to upset them.
Right.
I'm a good mediator.
Because we got issues downtown here as well. Yeah. You know, so we're development of downtown coming around. Got some thoughts on that?
Yep. Absolutely.
I've some of our situations with a super crew truck in a park. You know, watch the Bobby team all come together. It's like, oh, good God,
yep.
Close. You know.
Yeah, the super crew, the super cabs, all of that stuff has created. Yeah, has created a much tighter space in many areas, and. And to be fair, again, right? We're an agricultural community, so there's a lot of individuals that own those kind of trucks for the purpose of their farming or for the purpose of, you know, those kind of things. So we want to be accommodating, but at the same time, we have to, again, be safe. So.
Thank you, Mayor.
Great. Thank you.
Way to go.
Okay, Jenny, you had nothing, right? Okay. Audience and press. Okay, then we will call the meeting adjourned.